So I have with me Elder Terrence and Vincent of the Presidency of the 70 and his wife, Sister Vincent. How are you both doing?
Very, very well.
Good to meet you. So I was reading a bit on your topic, and it's about receiving revelation and knowing truth by spiritual and also by, you know, your intellect. And I wondered what made you come to this topic.
Well, we've been concerned that that sometimes it's easy to forget the spiritual side of things. So it's people are here at an educational institution, obviously, priming their brains and working things out intellectually. But it's also critically important to remember, not just now, but through their professional life and their family life, that that truths come through spiritual revelation.
Yeah, we've just spent the last 5 years in West Africa, and it's very evident there that the gifts of the Spirit and spiritual knowledge is very, very powerful and very much sought after there and very much accepted. And they have wonderful spiritual manifestations and have great faith because of that.
In fact, yeah. Their lives are guided more by the spiritual information that they receive than the intellectual information that they receive, which is wonderful.
Wow. Can you think of experience where you really realize that that was the case?
Well, they dream dreams and they have visions, and we know of people who will see the missionaries and say, what took you so long to get here? We saw you in a dream and we knew you were coming. Or they've seen the badge, or they've seen the Book of Mormon, and so they're aware. Or they may have had ancestors, parents or grandparents who've passed away who come and visit them and say they need to go to the temple and be baptized for them.
We met a missionary couple that served in Benin and Togo, and they told us of an experience that they had where they stopped randomly one day to have lunch at one of the little huts along the beach. And a man came up to them afterwards and approached them and said that you have a book that you need to give to me. And they found out afterwards that the reason that he approached them was because he had had a dream, and in that dream it said, you will meet a man who has a book that you need to read. And he asked many times, how will I know? And in his mind, or the words came into his head, you will know when you see him, you will know him, and you will go and talk to him. And he received the Book of Mormon, he read it, and joined the church, and brought quite a few other people with him.
Wow. In fact, that little village is called Grand Popo, and it's near the border of Benin and Togo. And there have been many members join the church as a result of that one man coming up and talking about the Book of Mormon. We now have a branch, of a good-sized branch of members in that area.
Wow, that's amazing. And the idea of your talk, you know, is that we should seek knowledge through the Holy Ghost. And what would you say to someone who is having trouble feeling or understanding the Holy Ghost, or someone who feels like they've never had an answer?
I think that prayer is one of the very first things. You need to have a sincere desire and put aside the things that would persuade you otherwise and focus on the things of the gospel, and to study, to go to some of those wonderful sections of the Book of Mormon and of the Doctrine and Covenants that talk about faith and talk about revelation, and study those and pray. Prayer is such an important part of it, and to really, really devote time and attention to it and not just think it'll come to me. You really have to work at it. And when you do, then you receive that knowledge that you need.
It's like our physical bodies. We need to feed and exercise our physical bodies. And it's the same with our spiritual side as well. We have to feed and nourish that. And sometimes we think we're doing that and we're really just giving it junk food. We might be just reading a verse or so from the Book of Mormon or the scriptures each day just to go through the process. And we're not really pondering and studying and feasting upon the words. When we do that, when we go to the temple, when we feast upon the scriptures, when we pray, when we act as a result of the things that we believe, then the Holy Ghost can talk to us and can help us. And when we respond to promptings that we've got, that we've received, then we get more promptings. But if we don't respond, they stop.
Yeah, that children's song, search, ponder and pray, are the things that I must do. The Spirit will guide, and deep inside I'll know the scriptures are true. And it's that simple formula, search, ponder, pray. They're all things of action, and we need to take action.
Wonderful. And you talk a little bit about your conversion experience, and I'm glad you're both here. So I wondered if you could Tell us a little bit about that in relation to your talk.
Well, my wife was a member of the church when we met, and I fell in love with her, and apparently she fell in love with me. I don't really understand why, but she did. And she told me that she was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. She said she was a Mormon, and I had never heard the word before. And I said, do you mean Muslim? And she said, no, Mormon. And I said, what is a Mormon? She said, well, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the only true church. And I was a Catholic, and I said, well, Catholic Church is the true church. And we began to attend church together. She'd come to Mass with me, and I'd go to her little branch with her. And after a short period of time, the comparison became embarrassing for me. And even though we met in a small rented hall for her branch, and it was only a very small branch, and it was a nice big Catholic church we met in, I could feel something that I'd never felt before. And that led to my conversion. Did you want to give any more detail than that?
No, it was an interesting process going to Mass and not knowing the procedure, but feeling disconnected from things, and then going to my little branch later on for sacrament meeting, and instantly, you know, everybody knew each other. There was a lot of greeting and hugs, and there were questions about how you're going. Whereas in the other one, people didn't know each other, and they came and they did their church service and then they went. But there was a connection, and he felt that very, very strongly.
It was not easy, though. My family were all Catholics, and they were upset when I got baptized, and we had significant problems rebuilding a relationship with my family over many years. But the gospel has brought us joy and peace and happiness, and it's true.
So when you were, and you're both from Australia,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah.
Yes.
I figured maybe we should tell that for people who don't know. Wow, these people have accents. But you've been serving in West Africa, or you were, for 5 years. What were your main responsibilities while you were down there?
I was in the area presidency. I was called as the first counselor in the area presidency in 2013. And then for the last couple of years, I served as the area president in West Africa. So we had responsibility for all of the countries of West Africa, from Nigeria in the east to Senegal in the west. Most of those countries, or a great number of them, are French-speaking countries. So French and English are the major languages there. And we saw the church grow incredibly. We had, when we arrived in West Africa in 2013, there were 38 stakes in West Africa. When we left in July this year, there were 101. So there were 63 new stakes created in the 60 months that we were there. So the growth there is incredible, faster than anywhere else in the world. And it was marvelous. And we got to know and love the people. You can't help but love the people of Africa when you're there. Your heart stays in Africa. It doesn't come back with you.
It really had just some marvelous experiences and formed some deep, lasting relationships. There are lots of quite a few little boys who are named Terry, which is not such a common name in West Africa, but there's a few of them now.
Yeah.
And we have many people there who call us Mum and Dad, in the fact that we became almost their parents for them, and they would come and seek counsel from us, and we just formed wonderful friendships, which was great because, you know, we don't see our family very often. So we have these extra children that were added to our family while we were there and still contact us constantly, and we share with them and their joys and the experiences of life. Yeah.
So are you in Australia now, or do you both live in Utah?
We live in Utah. My assignment when we were asked to come back from West Africa or come here from West Africa was to be in the presidency of the 70. So we live here. We meet a couple of times every week as a presidency. In fact, I missed a meeting today. So we're here, but we have responsibility globally. So I have three areas of the world that I assist a member of the 12 in supervising: North America Southeast, Africa Southeast, and Africa West. So we've been blessed to maintain the contact with Africa West, which is terrific.
That is great. And do you have any other family that's up here, or are they all still in Australia?
We have our youngest son, who is 22, just turned 22, and he's a student at Weber State. And so he is living with us for the first time since he was 17. So we are really enjoying that association. It's wonderful. There are other five children, and all of our grandchildren are in Sydney. So we get to see them for a few weeks once a year, and that's always delightful. But the Lord's blessing us with lots of other wonderful friendships and almost family.
That's great. Yeah, well, thank you both for coming in today.
Well, thank you.
That's Elder Terrence M. Vincent of the Presidency of the 70 and his wife, Kay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rena.